we just had a rep that booked a meeting with a huge deal for us, you know, a seven-figure deal. And that rep went through 72 contacts, 684 phone calls, and 125 emails to book that meeting. Like, that's legendary status. But you know what? Like, there was no email that he would have written that would have gotten that done any faster. They were ready. And then he was there when they were ready.
Welcome to the Inside Selling Podcast. My name's Liston Witherell, partner at Sales DNA, where we help inside sales teams get more meetings and close more business without feeling salesy, manipulative, or gross. Today on the podcast, I have Mark Kozoglo. He's the VP of Sales at Outreach.io, and he'll be talking about how we balance this drive for more quantity in sales activity with the fact that we know our prospects are getting tons and tons of communication. So there's got to be a limit to it. And I think you'll find Mark's insights about what to do, how to respond, and what their team is currently doing really, really, really interesting. Before I get to that, I want to invite you to check out our articles, blog.salesdna.co, or go to our online training, courses.salesdna.co. You can put in the code podcast and get 30% off any course you see on the site. And now, without any further delay, I welcome to you, Mark Kozoglo, VP of Sales at Outreach.io. Hey, it's Liston with Inside Selling, and I'm here with Mark Kozoglo. How are you, Mark?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm really good. And I'm excited to talk to you because you work at Outreach as the VP of Sales, and you know a lot, not only through what your team is doing, but through what your customers are doing. Not to say you're spying on anybody's data, but I'm sure you guys collect a ton of feedback about what's working and what's not. And my first question for you, I want to get to coaching in a second, but the first question I have is something that I'm hearing a lot. So I was looking at the data from the Bridge Group. Are you familiar with the Bridge Group? They do this inside sales survey every year. You know.
Yeah, I know Trish very well.
Okay, great. And one striking thing about their data is over the last, I think, 5 years, the amount of touches each SDR is doing keeps going up and up and up and up, right? Probably a lot of different reasons for that. But I think the biggest way I would summarize it is the word is out. Inside sales can work if you do it well, but people are being absolutely bombarded and it's harder and harder to get the attention of people. What are you doing to address this challenge of maybe not just pumping more volume into the system, but doing different things to get people's attention?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question of the hour. As more and more people understand that persistence is the real way to get results, you get more and more people being persistent, which just creates all this noise. And I think, quite honestly, you know, I don't know if it's harder to get in touch with people now than it was. You know, when I first started sales, there was no LinkedIn, there was no Zoom info. Like, the only way that I could figure out who to talk to was I called the receptionist and somehow got her to tell me the name and the phone number and the email address of the person I needed to talk to. And then I'd go after it from there. And I, you know, to build your own Rolodex. I'm not Rolodex time. I'm not that old. But you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so I don't know if it's harder to get in touch with people. Like, listen, here's the deal. You, like me, we're busy. And if something comes in at the wrong time, then it doesn't bleep on my radar. You know, there's no blip on my radar. Nothing happens with it. It's just, it gets pushed down. Now I'm like an inbox zero guy. So I process every bit of email that I get every single day. But like, if I'm not ready to deal with it, it goes into trash. You know what I mean? Like, email is one of three things. It's either a call to action, in which case I put it on my task list and I get it done and I delete the email. It's a piece of reference, in which case I file it away in a place where I'll need it for a future, or it's a garbage. So I throw it away. And if it's somebody introducing something new that I'm not ready to talk about, like, it doesn't matter how awesome the email is, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to throw it away. And so, you know, I think that that's always been true with people. And so really what it is just, you just have to have this pleasant persistence that allows you to eventually, when the person's ready, you're still in their inbox. And that's why the touches have gone up. And, you know, the studies have used to say 5 touches or 6 touches. Now they say 13 touches or whatever it takes. And it makes a ton of sense why, but like, I don't think that like the there's no silver bullet. There's no special trick. There's no research that you're going to do that's going to get someone to like all of a sudden read your email. Either they're reading your email or they're not. It's just when they're reading it, is it going to convert them into a meeting? And so, like, I think that, you know, that's where that comes in, is like when you got your chance, you better be putting your best foot forward, because if you're not, you're going to ruin your one chance that you had in that last 3 month period to actually get that person on the phone. But here's a great example of that. We just had a rep that booked a meeting with a huge deal for us, you know, a 7-figure deal. And that rep went through 72 contacts, 684 phone calls, and 125 emails to book that meeting. Like, that's legendary status. But you know what? Like, there was no email that he would have written that would have gotten that done any faster. They were ready. And then he was there when they were ready.
Yeah. So it seems, though, that the logical conclusion of this is we just keep ramping up the amount of activity that's required in order to get the attention of any individual or any account. But at some point, I'm guessing it won't make economic sense to continue to do that. You know, what do we do when we hit that point?
I love this. All right. Right now, everybody puts the burden of this problem on the seller. And that is not right. And it's not fair. I am a person. I'm a VP of sales. I buy stuff. People like me are what make the economy go. Not just me, VP of sales, but VP of engineering, CFOs. Us buying stuff is what keeps the world spinning. Right, we have a responsibility as buyers to respond to sellers, you know, and especially if you're selling to other salespeople. It's always ridiculous to me. I'm selling to other salespeople. They're moaning and complaining about people not responding to their emails, but they don't respond to the sales emails they get. Like, listen, I'm not a karma guy, but if that's not karma, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, like, to me, the way that we fix it is simple. I respond to the emails that I get, or I trash them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, it's very simple to me. And when I'm ready, or when I've been, you know, reached out to enough, or when I get tired of deleting it, like I take it upon myself to go ahead and respond to that person and let them know what's going on. You know what I mean? And like, listen, now you get into the conversation of, well, are you really sure you want to say no and all that? But like, listen, that's part of the game. I got to respect that. But I think the way that we solve it's really simple, is people out there that are buying stuff, respond to your freaking emails. You mean that solved the problem. If you're not ready to buy something, just say, I'm not ready to buy something. And I think that, you know, if you did that, like, my activity would get cut in half right now. And we'd only keep going after the people that are interested. And then we would, you know, let the other people lay cold for a little while and start hitting them up again after a reasonable amount of time. But like, if your email sucks and you're getting like 83,000 emails a day, respond to a couple of people and say no, and you won't get them anymore.
Right.
Am I crazy there, man?
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, I do the same thing. I'll tell people, no, not interested, or unsubscribe me, or I'm not a fit. Or, sure, give me some more detail. Here are the four questions I have for you. I think the hard part is that's completely out of your control, though, isn't it?
Well, how many do you get too many sales emails a day?
Well, you know, I'm not big time like you, so maybe not.
I don't.
I get probably, not counting newsletters, right? Because you can unsubscribe to those at any time.
That's different.
I'd say I probably get 2 to 3 solicitations every day. So yeah. It's not such a huge volume where I can't handle it.
I might get 10 or 12, and I'm like a prime suspect for like half of these SaaS tools that are going out. I get like 10 or 12 a day. It takes me 6 minutes to deal with those.
Right.
If I can't find 6 minutes in my day to contribute to the economy of the globe by saying yes or no to people, then I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take on a little personal responsibility here as buyers and respond to some of these poor, slaving, hardworking, kick-ass salespeople.
I love this.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So you are a better contributor to the world economy just by responding to emails. I love this.
By saying no, I'm doing my part to save the earth.
I love it. I love it. Okay, cool. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, you must have a lot of initiatives going on at Outreach for sales, for different ways to approach things, maybe new tools, lots of different ways to kind of be more efficient, be better performers, train on skills, whatever it is. What are the current initiatives that you're most excited about?
We have a, right now, we're launching at the beginning of the month. We never launch anything at the end of the month. Is a new framework that we've developed for us that has to do with how we do discovery and demo. You know, I'm on a lot of sales calls. I listen to sales calls because of what we just talked about. Like, it's my responsibility to be on sales calls and to buy stuff and to tell people no and stuff like that. But I'm also on sales calls because the only way I can find out about new stuff is if I take sales calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'm not up on everything. I don't know the best of everything. Like, salespeople inform me and educate me. And the last reason I'm on them is because I like to see what people are doing. Like, I steal the good stuff and, like, I tell my team not to do the bad stuff. And so, you know, we've built a DISCO framework that's kind of like an amalgamation of what my best reps do, you know, what my sales readiness and enablement director, prescribes and has researched, and then what I've seen work and, you know, kind of my flavor of how I think it should go. And so we're releasing that in a couple of weeks. Super pumped about it.
And so, you know, one thing I found is that you guys do have a pretty sophisticated call coaching tool that you use, and you mentioned your sales enablement director. How is that information gathered in order to put together a version of Better that you're going to try?
So we use Chorus as our call analytics tool. Mm-hmm. And what it does, the way that we mostly use it, is it doesn't point us to Better. It talks to us about execution. And so, like, there's a lot of data to sort through to look at calls to, like, identify a best practice. But if I flag a couple keywords and I listen to calls for certain things, I can see how well the training that we're doing is sticking and the effect that it's having in the call. So that I wouldn't say that we use it in the way that you just asked me about. We use it more on an execution piece, or people actually doing what we're suggesting. And listen, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I need my team to help me figure out better ways to do what we're doing. And so, like, we're constantly trying and innovating. It might frustrate some people, but we try to hire people that are cool with that, because, like, what we're doing is selling something that's never existed before. Think that we're going to get it, like, right in a couple years is crazy. You know, Xerox took however many years to get selling copiers right. So, you know, it just takes some time to figure out, and we're constantly trying new stuff.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. You know, one thing I've heard from a lot of people is that on the one hand, you have execution, right? So you can listen in on the sales calls and say, show me pricing conversations, listen to those and see how they compare. Another way that I've heard, I had Sam, the VP of operations over at AdRoll, and he said one of the key things that they're doing with their sales calls is figuring out what is the voice of the customer. So rather than just, how does my rep talk about pricing? The question is, when they talk about pricing, what does a customer say? Like, how are they thinking about this? Do you involve any customer feedback or voice of customer data in what you're doing in order to create a better sales template?
Well, first off, Sam T is a genius, so I'm not going to pretend to be in his class of analytics. But I would say that, you know, when you're coaching a call, obviously, you're listening to how the customer responds to the verbiage that's used. So I would say anecdotally in that manner, like, it's woven into how we coach. I wouldn't say that we're collecting it in mass and running some kind of analysis on it. Like, I wouldn't even begin to know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, like, listen, sales is both science and art. Most of the science stuff, you know, a tool like ours can help you solve, like, the persistence and the, you know, the rhythm that you do things in. The art part is, like, what does the person do when they're in front of the other person to have a great conversation? And, you know, like any artist, you can show them techniques and you can talk to them about how they could make their painting better, but it's very difficult to guide them stroke by stroke in exactly how to create a Mona Lisa.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And are you finding that internally, your reps, do most of their meetings come out of phone calls or emails? Kind of what is the last touch that you typically attribute to landing a meeting?
Last I heard, our director of sales development takes care of that, because our SDRs book almost all of our meetings. I would say last I heard it was 60 to 65% of our meetings were booked on the phone.
Yeah. Okay. That I think shores with what I would expect also. All right, cool. Well, I have five really quick questions for you. What is your favorite sales book?
New Sales Simplified by Mike Weinberg. Baller.
Yeah, I love that one. What is your favorite sales conference?
I like AAISP conferences. Best conference I go to where people are there to learn, not to show how awesome they are.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a big distinction because often it is a place to show off and kind of self-promote.
Yeah, pop my tail feathers up a bit.
What is the sales tool besides your own that you can't live without?
You mean besides like Salesforce?
Yeah, let's put Salesforce aside also.
I would say the one that we use the most is probably LinkedIn Sales Navigator.
Yeah, same here. That would be my answer as well. What is the blog, newspaper, or magazine that keeps you most informed about sales?
I use Flipboard on my iPhone, and I just have a million things feeding into it, so I couldn't point to one because I consume everything through Flipboard. Like once I find something cool, I throw it on Flipboard, and it just gets all served to me. So I use that aggregator to bring everything to me. I probably thumb through 300 articles a day and read probably 10 to 20. So
wow, that is impressive volume. That is a lot. Well,
you know, Flipboard, you just kind of flip through it and you read the first paragraph and it's interesting. You drill in and it's just kind of crazy. I'm at the girl's soccer game. My girl is not in the game right now. I'll read a couple articles, you know, until she gets back in the game. So, you know, you do that several times during the day and the next thing you know, you're consuming a lot of content.
Totally. If you listen to podcasts, which do you recommend to sales pros?
I listen to The Sales Arena by Mike, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Iannario, I believe is how he pronounces it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good, short, you know, to the point, and I really like his style. He's like a no-nonsense, take-no-prisoners, like, cut-your-head-off type of dude. I'm down. I'm down for that.
Okay, that's definitely not me, but I like that. Okay, Sales Arena. Fantastic. Well, Mark, I really appreciate you being here. Final question for you. If anybody wanted to get a hold of you or connect with you, what would be the best way to do that?
LinkedIn. I monitor my LinkedIn all the time. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here, Mark.
No problem. Thanks for the chance.